We'll start again. We're in the Yud Amud Beis, the end of Yud Amud Beis, carrying on to Yud Aleph and Aleph. We're around 10 lines from the bottom, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi, Amar Shmuel. So they say, in the name of Shmuel, Hayashem Bekila Arum, someone who's lying down, sleeping in a kila, we said this type of canopy, Arum, not dressed, Motzi Rosho Chutz L'kila, he could stick his head out of the tent, but the rest of the body, while undressed, inside the tent, and Vekore Kriya Shema, and he's allowed to recite Shema. Now, the reason being is because it's like wearing clothing. At a certain point, clothing can get baggier and baggier. How baggy can clothing get? So the Gemara assumes that this kila is simply like a baggy clothing, and you're allowed to say, we don't view him as being Arum, and therefore he could say Shema. Because if he was Arum, there's an Isser. Rashi quotes the Isser. Look at Rashi, Kori Kriya Shema, the bottom one. Techevim delav Ohelho, since we don't view this as an Ohel, lo amrinan lamakum sherubo sham rosho nidrak, we don't say, if it wasn't Oel, we would have said that since most of his body is Arum, we should throw the Rosh after it, even though there's a hefsek between the Rosh and Rubo. We should have followed Rubo. V'litzar, and he should be asked to say Shema, Mishum lo yira becha evras davar, because when you're saying Shema, you can't see any erva. Elaharehu kamotzi rosha chutz l'chuluko. So it's no different than sticking his head out of his clothing. That's how we view it, and therefore it's permitted. But then the Gemara quotes Meisive. Hayashim bekila arum lo yotze rosho chutz lekila v'yikra kriya shema. This Bryce says one may not stick his head out of the kila. We do view it as being arum, follow his rubo. Gemara says the difference is hacha b'may askinam b'kishkavoa asara. The second case where we says asar to recite shema is when there's 10 tefachim high. So once the kila he's in is 10 tefachim high, we view that as an ohel, not as clothing. Once it's under 10 tefachim, it's just very baggy clothing. 10 tefachim, it's an ohel. He sticks his head out. Since it's an OL, we allow his body, which most of his body is in the tent, his rosho is going to follow wherever the body is. Even though it's not physically there, the halacha will be viewed as being part of that. And the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya that's the case. Hachanami Mustava, this is quite logical. Midikasani Sefer, from the fact that the Sefer says, Hol lamaze dome, what's this similar to? La'omeid bebayis arum, shelo yotze rosho chutz lechalon, v'ikare kriya shema, shema mina. So second Bryce, where we said the person sleeping in a kila, he can't naked and he can't stick his head out, that's no different than a person standing in his house, Arum, when he can't stick his head out the window and recite Shema. Because just like a bias is an ohel, so too the kila, when it's 10 tefachim high, is an ohel, and we say his rosho is going to follow where his rubo is, and he would be considered Arum and can't say Shema. So the Gemara says, Ubayis Nami, and also when it comes to the bias, now going on to Yud Aleph from Aleph, the Gemara says, Ubayis Nami, when it comes to a house, even though a house is not 10 tefachim high, it could be a very, very small house, came in the kavia, ohalahu v'dilo gara mikinofos. So, normally speaking, we said this yesterday, if it's something that's not kavua, in order to create an ol, you need 10 tefachim high. If it's something that is kavua, like a bias, then even less than 10 tefachim will qualify for an ol, but whenever there's an ohel, we view the body, rubo, the rosho is going to follow wherever the rubo is. The more now, addresses a different version of this statement, Lishna Achrina, Amrila, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, is said in the name of Shmuel, Mutar Liyashan Bekilas Chasanim, Besukai. Rashi explains what's Kilas Chasanim. This is three lines from the top. Kilas Chasanim Eino Kishar Kilas, not like the other ones we've been talking about. Vein Osan Lagag, Vi Sivivos Hamita, Vi Gaga Mushufa Lekishol Naklitim. Normally, up until this point, we were talking about a flat roof. Now we're talking about where it goes at an angle. I had my nice pictures.
We had that previously also.
We did have that previously. That was the two-pole.
Right.
The two-pole.
The poles in the center.
Right. Just to take advantage of my picture, I'll show it to you anyways. I know David would have been excited if he was here today to use his picture book. But here, this type of picture here where it's slants. It's like a tent.
Right, that's the only thing.
Right, okay. Keep my finger in the back here to keep switching back when we need it again. So then the Gemara says, regarding a kilas chasanim basuka, a person may sleep in a kilas chasanim that is underneath a schach, lefish ein lagag, since it has no roof, it's slanted, afa pisha gvoa asar, even though it's 10 tefachim high, and normally we said 10 tefachim high would qualify as an ol, Shmuel tells us it's only when there's a roof plus 10 tefachim. But when there's 10 tefachim without a roof, that does not qualify as an ol. Asks the Gemara, Meisive, Hayashin Bekila Besuka Lo Yotze De Chavasa. The person who sleeps in a kila that's within a sukkah, he's not Yotze. We just said before he is Yotze. What's the difference? Hacha B'mayaskinen B'sheyesh L'gag. When the Braisa says he's not Yotze for sleeping in such a kila within a sukkah, that's when there's a little bit of a roof, when the roof is flat, and then Tantvachim. But if it's, right, this case, this case here, that's when you're not yotze. That's considered an ohel. That's when you're not yotze, sleeping in this type. If you're sleeping in this type, that is not considered an ohel. What we're learning from this Lishna Achrina is part of the definition of an ohel is it needs two things. It needs 10 tefachim high, and it needs some type of flat roof to it. If it's not a flat roof, it does not serve as an ohel.
Didn't we learn this before already? Why doesn't it ask pshita or something?
It's just, I guess, a different presentation of... the Gemara only asks pshita...
We learned it in a few places, in the last few da, this thing. That it's covered and has one of the tefachim.
Did we mention about a gag being a tefach? I don't think we mentioned that yet, did we?
I think there was a place where it says that there was a gag is a tefach, yes. Or maybe the article mentioned it.
I think that was called a nakalita. But now it's called a
Kilas Chasanim.
Kilas Chasanim. So I think it's just a different sound. They sound the same, but maybe there's some small difference.
Well, before I take a quick look here, how much of that's the difference? A quick look in the smack in the middle of Yudam Abayz, it says, if it has 10 tefachim high, even though there's no... I'm sorry, other way around. If it's not 10 tefachim high, even though there is a gag, that's not a ohel. Now we're saying, in the positive way, you need a 10 tefachim plus you need a gag.
We said if it's not 10 tefachim high, then it's fine. It's a kosher soup. You're okay.
Exactly.
And now it's saying...
Before we've been saying it's all dependent on 10 tefachim.
Right.
It mentioned before that...
No, I mean, if but in that same daf, it mentioned that if it's an angle, then you're yotze all the time because it's not a roof.
Did we mention that in the Brisa? I'm looking now...
In the Brisa, but I have the picture here.
No, that was just a picture of what it looked like in the Mishnah. But I don't think we ever actually addressed it in the Gemara.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we ever addressed it. But we definitely did, again, the Mishnah, as we said before, right. Right. I already said like that was a difference... Okay. I'm not sure there's a difference between a naktita, what was it called again? The naklitin and a kias chasan. They seem to be the same structure.
Right.
I'm not sure if there's a difference.
Okay.
So, again, so what Shmuel's telling us here is that in order to be considered an ohel and would serve as a hefsek between you and the schach, you would need to have two things, 10 tefachim high plus at least a tefach of a gag, a flat gag, then that's considered an ohel will be a problem. So the Gemara says, now Tashma around 8 lines down from the top. Tashma, naklitan, oh, here we go. Naklitan, shnayim, naklitan is two poles and one horizontal, that makes the same design as the tent. The kinofos, arba, that has four poles, that has a flat one. Piris agave kinofos, if you spread a sheet on top of the kinofos, making a flat roof, psula. However, agave naklitan, ksher, if you place it on top of the this now tent, the naklitan, or same thing as kilis chasanim, that's going to be a kasher, it will not affect you sleeping in that within a sukkah. Ubilvad, so long as shelo yehu naklitin gevoin minamita asar tefachim. So as long as the ohel is not 10 tefachim high. So Gemara is medayik, ha gevoin minamita asar psula. But if the tent is 10 tefachim high, afal pish ein la gag, imla has no roof. So we said before, in order to be considered an ohel, you need two things, a 10 tefachim and a gag. This price only discusses 10 tefachim, doesn't seem to acknowledge the necessity of the gag. So Gemara says, shiny naklitan. So there's a difference between naklitan. Naklitan is different because the kivi, that's considered kivi. So we said before already twice, when something is kavua, it has less standards to become, needs less standards to become a ohel. But apparently the kias chasanim is not kaviyah, so kias chasanim needs two things. It needs 10 tefachim and a gag. Naklitan is kaviyah, so therefore it only needs 10 tefachim. It doesn't need the gag to be considered an ohel. So Gemara says, I kivi.
That's very interesting because we learned before that. No matter how tall it is, if it's a slanted roof, it's not me'akev. It's not, no, we didn't really...
If it's a slanted roof...
We learned that it's not...
In terms of making an ohel?
Yeah.
Right, so there are all these different lishonos here.
Okay.
According to this lishna, you have to have 10 tefachim in addition to kviya. You're right, before we said even without that.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm sure it's probably a big challenge trying to figure out what's the halacha of how we paskin in the end of the day because there's so many different approaches here. So the Gemara says, "E kaviyah." If we're saying that naklitan is kaviyah, so leheve kikinofos, so let it be like kinofos and let it be puzzle, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. We said above, if it's a flat roof, then it's puzzle across the board. If it's a slanted roof, then only if it's 10 tefachamai is a pasul. But now that we've established even a slanted roof is kavia, that a naklitan is kavia, so it should be just like kinofos. Both of them are kavua, and both of them should be considered oel. So Gemara says, legave kinofos lo kavia, legave kila kavia. So it's somewhere in the middle. So what are the levels? So it comes to the, let's get the words right, kinofos, the flat roof, that's oel all the time, according to this brisa. No matter how high, it's always going to be a problem. And the other extreme is actually we'll go down in a level, it probably makes more sense. When it comes to the kinofos, which is a slanted roof, but it's kavua slanted roof, you need 10 tefachim to make it an oel. And then when it comes to kis chasanim, it's not kavua, you need two things. You need 10 tefachim, plus you need at least somewhat of a tefach of a roof. And those are the three levels according to this last brisa. It seems that this is the way we paskin, just based on the way the Ein Mishpat quotes the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like these are the levels we paskin like. Hey, Darish Rabba by Rav Huna. Mutar lishon bikila, afa pisha eish lagag. A person's allowed to sleep in a kila even though there's a roof, afa pisha gva asara, and even though it's 10 tefachamai. So this seems to go against what we just said. We said before, if it has 10 tefachamai, if it's 10 tefachamai and it has a roof, you can't sleep in it. It's a pasul sukkah. Here he says, you can sleep in it. Kiman, who does it go like? This is a das yachid, ki Rebbe Yehuda. Dir Amar, lo asi ohel arai, umuvatel ohel keva. He held, in general, let's see the particular application, that a ohel arai, a temporary ohel, which is the case of the kiyas chasanim, even though it's 10 tefach amai, and even though it has a tefach of a gag, that's considered a ohel arai, that cannot be mevatel the ohel keva, the schachaba, which is considered an ohel keva. So where do we see this? So Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us that later on in Daf Chof Amar Beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Nohagin Nehayinu Lishan Tacha Hasemita, Befnei Zakenim. We used to sleep in these little canopies that are within a sukkah in front of the Zakenim. And actually, no, I'm sorry, they used to sleep underneath the mita, underneath the bed, in front of the Zakenim. And apparently the Zakenim didn't say anything to them. The reason being, you look at Rashi, Nohagin Nehayinu Yishenim Tacha Hasemita, that's around 10 lines down in Rashi. The mita lagavi sukkah ol harayu. Everything's relative to each other. So the mita is considered a ol haray with respect to the schach. Ushemasalkin osam imakum lamakum. You move the mita around. You move the bed around. So it's considered ol haray. The schach remains in that place for 7-8 days. So the mita is considered haray, and it's not mevata. They used to sleep underneath the bed. So that's how we see that the ol haray is not mevata and ohel.
And this is supposedly without a tefachim.
This is even with the Eser Tefachim, otherwise it wouldn't be a Raya. The Gemara will address, and the Gemara actually doesn't address that, the Gemara assumes the Mita has to be 10 Tefachim high, otherwise what's the Raya?
Okay,
so the Gemara says, Lema Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So why don't we just simply say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? And then instead of bringing a Raya from, wait, why would we say that? Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? All the different things. Why do we say all these cases? Just simply say we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Instead of going through all the different cases of the 10 tefachamai, the gag, why does Rabba say if it's 10 tefachamai and it's there's a gag that's mutter? Just say we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and we know the Rabbi Yehuda what he says in the Mishnah by the mita. You're allowed to sleep underneath the mita, so too you'd be allowed to sleep under any ohel. So the Gemara says that you can't say that because Yamar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Had you said that, Hava Mina Hani Mili Mita Dilagave Asuya Dilagava Asuya. You, if you said we pass on Rabbi Yehuda, you might think only in the case of the mita, the bed, that would be allowed because the bed is made legava for use on top of it. It was not created for the use underneath it. So a person sleeps underneath the bed. Certainly, that won't be considered an ohel because it was never made to use underneath the bed. It's meant to be on top of the bed. But aval, but maybe one would say, maybe only in the case of the bed. Aval kila de la tocha asuya, this type of canopy, which was made particularly for inside, staying underneath the kila, so maybe then there, aim a low, maybe Rabbi Huda would not allow you, maybe that type of ohel, he said, would be mevatel, the ohel keva, would be mevatel, the schach. Kamash Milan comes to teach me that no. Taima de Rabbi Huda, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Huda? De lo asi, ohel arai, mevatel ohel keva. It's all about a temporary oel cannot be mevatel a permanent oel. Lo shna mita, lo shna kila. Regardless of whether it was a bed, it was made for use on top. Whether it was a kila made for use on the bottom, doesn't make a difference. Whenever it's an ohel harai, it does not affect the ohel keva. And that's why Rabba bar Rav Huna presented it the way he did and didn't simply say the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda. Because you could have had that havamina. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah. Yeah.
So just the maskana is if it's an array, then even if it's more than 10 tfachim.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, right?
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
And even though it has a roof, also a gag.
Even if it has a roof, and even if it has a tefach.
Right.
And if it's keva, it has to. If it's keva.
Well, according to this one, according to Rehuda, we're not sure what he holds about keva. He doesn't mention the issue is keva.
Okay.
But Lemaisa, we don't. It seems like we don't paskin this way.
Rabbi Yehuda Lachar is going against the brisa we saw.
Yes. I agree.
Kinofos Arba.
Right.
That we said it was 10 tefach.
And he's allowed to.
He's allowed to. Exactly. Saying he's against the brisa.
Yeah.
Unless you say somehow that case was a keva bed, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, a bed. Rashi says a bed begabe sukkah is considered a rai. So.
Right. I think he is going against him. Yeah. Okay. School's open today, by the way. Okay. Mishnah says, at least BBY. Mishnah says, hid la les a geffen. What?
Cancel in an hour.
Right.
It's gonna be like Toronto, unless it snows like 10 feet, everything goes on.
Well, everyone has 4-wheel drive up there. They probably have to get 4-wheel drive. But yesterday, my car was just like slipping and sliding, coming back from davening. So the Mishnah says, Hidla les agefen. So we mentioned this Mishnah before, we quoted it. A person is a little grapevine. You tilt it down to make it into a sukkah. Vesa delas, vesa kisus, vesicha chagaba, psula. So you bend it down these various vines, and you place chach on top of this. Now, Rashi tells us already, we saw this once before, that you cannot use something mechubra lakarka, you cannot use as a schach. So bending the geffen down, all the things connected to the ground, would be disqualified for schach. If, however, you put more kosher schach on top of the pasul schach, or you cut off the vines, and so now they're detached from the ground, both those cases would be kshera. Again, either the yirmevatel b'rov, we said before, a couple of days ago, yirmevatel b'rov, all the psul schach, or you cut it, and now you've turned it into kosher schach. Either way would be permitted for schach. This is the rule one should always know. Kol shehu mekabel tuma, anything that's mekabel tuma, kli, a shirt, anything that has a use to it is going to be or ve'ein gidil min aret, or something that does not grow from the ground. Rashi gives examples of animal skin, animal hide, even though those are not mekabel tuma, but it doesn't grow from the ground. Either one of those, a mesachim bo, is not a good schach. But kol davar she'ein mekabel tuma, anything that's not mekabel tuma, ve'gidil min aret mesachim bo. A tree, a branch, which grows from the ground, but it's not mekabel tumah because it's not a kli, that is what is kosher for a schach. The Gemara on tomorrow's daf will discuss how we know this. So the Gemara says, Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, Yosef and Kamar, he was sitting and talking. Oh, shekatzon ksher. He quotes this Mishnah, that if you cut off the bottom of the trees, these branches, it becomes a kosher sukkah because it's no longer connected to the ground. Vama Rav, and on that they said, Rav said, Tzarech l'naneh, and you have to actually move around the schach, shake it a little bit. On machlok is how much you have to move it, you have to pick it up a tefach and put it down a tefach, or just simply move it slightly, that would suffice. But either way, you have to do some type of naneh. Cutting it from the ground is not enough, you have to move it. So, Gemara says, Amar le Rav Huna, Hashmul Amra. What do you mean, not Rav? Shmuel was the one who said this, comments Rav Huna, back to Rav Yosef. Hadrina Rav Yosef Lape, Rav Yosef turns over to Rav Huna and says, Vamrla, and he says to him, Atu Mika Milacha de Lo Amr Shmuel? Did I ever say that Shmuel didn't say it? I just said Rav said it. But I didn't say that Shmuel didn't say it. Amri Rav, Amr Shmuel, they both said it. Rav said it and Shmuel said it. I just quoted Rav, but you're right, Shmuel also said it. Amrle Rav Huna says back to Rav Yosef, Hachi Kaminalcha, this is what I'm saying to you. De Shmuel Amra Velo Rav. Shmuel did say it, but Rav never said it. Rav did not require you to move around the schach after you cut it from the ground. The Rav Achshur Mechshay, Rav actually permitted you to use this type of schach. If you cut it from the ground, just leave it the way it is. How do we know this? Ki had Rav Amram Chasida. Once there was a case of Amram Chasida, Rama Techilsa le Farzuma the Inshe Besa. He put some techeles on the shirt or clothing the Inshe Besa for his wife. You look at Rashi, how you putting tzitzis on a woman's talus. So Rashi says, we'll start from the last narrow line. Rama Techilsa. Hitel tzitzis. He put tzitzis. Lefarzuma de inshi besa. Le talis isho and his wife's talis. De kasavar laila zman tzitzis. He was of the opinion that even tzitzis can be worn at nighttime. It's day and night. And that being the case, verissimo so, doesn't the pasuk say verissimo so only when you see it? Isn't that excluding nighttime, that you don't wear it at nighttime? No, verissimo so comes to prat, comes to exclude, l'ksis suma, that a suma, a person who can't actually see, is pater from tzitzis. About ksis lai l'chayev, but a clothing that's worn during the nighttime is chayev. So it comes out as tzitzis is supposed to be worn both day and night. V'havim mitzis ase shelo azman grama, nashim chayavos. So he held that nashim are chayev. We Paskin women are pater from tzitzis because we hold the mitzvah, sorry, ksis laila, is lav's man tzitzisi. But Rav Amram Chasida was of the opinion that the women were chayv. Okay, back to the Gemara now. So he was putting tzitzis on his wife's beget. Talon velo pasuk rashe chutim shelahen. He started tying them, but didn't cut them yet. So look at Rashi. Rashi, this is now four medium, or the last medium wide lying down. Talun letzitios bekanfos hatalas chudechad kafodal. You took one string and put it in the hole, just one string, in and out several times. I'll show you a picture in the back. The tochvo beknaf odenu chudechad. It's still one string, but it went in back and forth. And then koflo v'harehu shmona kfalim. Now he doubles it over, so the four turns into eight. Uposik roshan shalahem nasin shmona chud. Then he cuts where they bend, each time where it bends, and automatically turns into eight strings. So I have a nice picture here. I never understood this when I learned this Gemara. So until I got this picture, so you have it there, but this is actually small pictures here. But you see these strings, one string he takes and wraps it in back and forth several times over. I never was able to imagine it well. And then you slice it, you snip the bottom of it, it becomes eight. So Gemara says, what's the halacha? So also the kamid Rav Chiya bar Rashi, he didn't know what to do. He put it in the talus, but never cut it yet. Amulei hachi amarav. He quotes Rav. Remember, we're talking about Rav right now. That's the whole quotes Rav. Rav says, mifaskzon v'hein sharon. Just snip them, and they're kosher. Alma psikosan zuhasiyasan. Cutting the tzitzis is going to be making an asiya. Hachanami ktisan zuhasiyasan. So too, cutting the tree that were connected to the ground is also considered asiya. So I should have mentioned before, what was the problem? Why did they require you to be in Nanea in the first place? Because the pasuk says, Tasav lobin ha'asar. You have to make it. It can't be made pre-made. So if you have these pasal schach, it's now pasal. It's pre-made. By me cutting it, I didn't do any action. It was pre-made. It was pre-made as something pasal. I have to move it to undo what was done and redo it. So how are you allowed to snip it? So Rav held that, at least when it came to tzitzis, by snipping it, by doing some type of action, cutting it, that's an asiya, that's good enough for tzitzis. So too when it comes to schach, just cutting the bottom, that is the asiyasan. You don't have to move it to undo what was done before.
So they will be cut by themselves because of a storm or something. Then you have to then
push it for the chor, that probably wouldn't work.
And this would be a machlokas that we had before, and that there's a machlokas if you can do it during Chalimod or not, during Yantav or not, right?
Why is that relevant here? Even Erev Sukkot, this would be a relevant shaila.
Right, but let's say question is, let's say you were away and you came home and you had this chach. It was still connected to the ground.
So according to where we pass, can we allow you to build the sukkah on Chol Moed? So you'd probably be able to. So the Gemara now says, okay, now we establish according to Rav, a simple cutting is considered asir. So Gemara says, v'savar Shmuel lo aminam psikasan zuhi asiyasan. Shmuel, does Shmuel really reject this? That he thinks cutting will not be considered an asir? The Ha'atani Shmuel Meshum Rabbi Chia was in the Brisa that Shmuel taught in the name of Rabbi Chia. Hitil l'shnei kranos bebas achas. So you place the string in both corners of the tzitzis at one time. V'achar kach pasuk rashi chutan shelahen k'sherin. And then only afterwards do you cut the strings. So you put them into the konfos already, and you cut them only afterwards. So isn't this the same problem? That you can't, that's a tas of lomina asoy. By you cutting it, that's considered an asiyah. And this is said in the name of Shmuel. So my love, is it not a case, shekosher, v'charkach posik, is it not a case where you took the strings on both corners, you tied them up, all as one string, I'm not sure how you really do that, but somehow you're able to tie the strings up together, and after you tied them, you cut them. And Shmuel permits this. So you see, cutting is considered an asiyah. Says the Gemara, lo, not true. Sheposik v'achaka kosher. So in the cases, he ran the string through the corners. But he never tied them yet. They were just dangling. Then he cut them first. And only after he cut them did he tie them. place them into the hole, into the corner, in the corner, is not considered an asiyah. That's just beginning the process. The asiyah, when it comes to tittus, is raveling around, wrapping around with the other string. So this case is where he only put them into the holes, cut them, and then he tied them around each other. That would be permitted. But if he first tied them together, and only after tied them, he cut them, then Shmuel would say, no, asiyah psikasan eino zuhi asiyasan. So Gemara says, if it's a case of kosher, if it's posek, b'charka kosher, if it's really he snipped them first and then tied them, myla meimra, it's pretty obvious. Right, what's a chiddush? Mal the same, what would you have thought? Ba'inan knaf b'shas psil v'leka. So Rashi explains, ba'inan knaf b'shas psil, b'shas sheposlo, in the moment shetola b'psil, when you place the strings in the corners, ba'inav knaf echad v'lo shnayim, k'mash malam that not. So when you place it in, you would think that psil has to be in one corner. You can't have psil into two corners. So initially, it takes this one string and laces it through two corners. So you might think that's considered possum, because the pasuk says you have to do a psil per corner, not psil for two corners. So you might think that would disqualify it. Kamash Malan, I guess that there's no requirement of putting a psil in a knaf. The requirement of making a tittus is doing the kshira, not the psil into the knaf. So you're pondering that point.
I don't understand that.
Okay, that's fine. So Rashi isn't based really on a pasuk at all, but let's see. They should quote a pasuk. They bring the pasuk on the side again. I'm not good at quoting pasuk, even things we say three times a day. Knaf psil tcheles, we say, right? Knaf psil tcheles.
Because it's like what it's saying, I think, is that if you do it like this, you're basically getting rid of the corner. Like, if once you tie it like this, which is the case, then these are not corners anymore because they're together.
In other words, it has to act as a knaf.
At the moment that you put it in, it has to be a corner. But when you put it together, you're basically tying it together. There's no more corners here. I think that's what it's meaning.
Yeah, I thought the point was that since the pasuk says knaf psil tcheles, knaf and psil, one psil per each knaf, for each corner.
Right.
But when you take the string, you put it through two corners, each corner, but it's two corners, you have to put it one psil for one corner, not for two corners. So once you initially put it into the baguette, that's two corners. By you cutting it, well, you're ready, initially put the psil in two corners. You can't undo what you put in. Kamash Malan, that's not part of the... I'm not sure the Kamash Malan is, but I'll suggest. Right. It has to be in one, not in two. When you put it in, you put it into two corners originally. You have to put it into one corner.
It's not a matter that it becomes that the corners become like tied together.
Right, exactly. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the point. It could be. That'd be probably an interesting approach.
Right.
That's why he actually quotes him here. Based on the pasuk, psil tcheles has to be one knaf psil tcheles, one knaf per psil. So what's a kamash malan? Rashi doesn't explain here, but my understanding is, I would guess, that the shira, the putting the psil in the knaf is not part of the asiya. That's just the hechsher, if you will. That's not part of the asiya. Right. Exactly. The tliya, or lacing it, is not part of the kshira.
Right.
That's just starting off.
Right.
Once it comes to kshira,
then you need it.
Okay. We're good now?
Better.
Better, okay. Says the Gemara, Mesive, Talon velo pasak rashi chutin, shelahen, psulim. Let's say you hang them, which is just simply lacing them through the circles, but not the holes, but not actually tying it yet. So talon v'lo pasik rashi chutan, you didn't snip them yet. There's still one string that's laced through all the holes or the corners. It's possible. My lav psulim li'olam, does that not mean it's possible forever? Even though you never actually tied them, you just were told of them, you just laced it in, and it says they're possible forever. This is a kash of tiyufta de Rav. Because Rav says you're allowed to cut them. Even after you tie them, Rav permits you to cut them. So this sounds like it's possible forever. The Gemara says, no. Amar lecha Rav, my psulim, what does it mean? Possible? Not psulim li'olam. It means psulim ad sheyifsiku, until you snip them. It's only possible while it stays all connected. But once you snip them, make them into eight strings that are happen to be tied together now, even then Rav would say that's how you interpret the brisa.
Well, wouldn't it be posuch because it doesn't have any knots yet? According to Rav, you haven't knotted it.
So according to Rav, you have to say it's a case where you knotted it also.
Knotted it,
you must have, right.
Right, you've completed that. It's just the sikah that was missing.
Right. Then Shmuel says, Shmuel Amar, psul niolam. No, it's posuch forever. You have to untie everything because Shmuel held that it's considered tas of lomen ha'asar. So you have to after you cut them, you have to untie everything and redo it again. I'm not even sure how you would possibly tie it with one string. It's probably almost impossible. I don't know how you
do what?
If it's one string, how do you make the knots in each corner with one string? I just never understood that mitzvah. But
no, it's not one string. It's four strings.
It didn't say one string.
One string folded in four, and then you get eight. So you can still go around with two strings, maybe.
According to these pictures, it has one. There's one
Let
string. Look, it's small, but
otherwise it's impossible.
I'm telling you, look
it
at this string.
It would be technically impossible.
This is how you lace it. This is them. This is one string laid out.
Right.
And the one string wrapped in.
Okay.
See, there's only two ends there. It's one string.
Yes.
And then here you tie them together. There's two ends only. Somehow you tie them.
Oh, it's. Well, I tell you why. Because you got the first and the last one that are open.
So you just it's not a circle. So you just completely.
Let's say you leave a space like this, and then like this, and then from here you go like this, like this, like this, and like this, and you put everything together and use this one to tie around, and then you cut it.
I see. Okay, I see how that works. So you have the one end just very long, and you wrap it around,
right.
And tie it and wrap it around.
Right.
Okay, and then you cut the bottoms.
And then you cut the other because you only have three bottoms to cut. Because the first one and the last one are open.
Right. So you cut three of them, and you have eight all tied together.
Right.
I know David would ask if he was here, why would you do that?
Where is David?
On Fridays he learns Tanya, I think. I'm not sure what he gets.
No, on the contrary. Fridays he doesn't teach Tanya. No, so
I'm not sure. Friday he gets the early Hachanos, I guess, for Shabbos. He doesn't
because
come on Friday.
Because normally he gives it here gives Tanya after davening. So now he can actually...
Prepares for the week after
help his
wife.
I think so.
That's Shulchan Aruch says. You're supposed to start early. Early
That's
in the
right.
day. All the halchanos. Okay. So then the Gemara continues. It says, V'chein Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel P'sul Niolam. Also, he held that if such a case is possible forever, we'd have to untie everything. Ikadamri, there's another version. Amar Rav Masna B'didi Hava Uvdid. Once a mice happened to me. V'asai L'kamei D'mar Shmuel went to Shmuel. We asked him, and what happened? Someone tied it in such a way without making eight strings. V'amrli, and Shmuel Paskin P'sul Niolam. Okay, so we see that's the, seems to be the rove, the majority of Paskin, that's P'sul Niolam. That's how you Paskin based on the Ein Mishpah here. Meisive, Talin V'acharkach Pask Roshe Chotin Shelahen P'sulim. So they ask a question. If you tie them, you lace it onto the beged, and then you tie them. Probably talking about that case. It's possible. The ode, furthermore, it says Tanya Gavi Suka Tasev Lomina Asoi Mikan Amru Hidla Les Agefin Vesadlas Vesakisum Vesika Kagavan Psula. So, and further, the Brisa says that you have to make the sukkah. It can't be already made. And then it says, from here we learn that one cannot use the vines and other things Mechuba Lakarka. You can't use it as chach. Hey Chidami, what's the case? If we're talking about the case of the brisa and the case of the sittis where you never cut them, my area mishum tasel manasai. Why are we saying it's puzzle? Because
right.
It was never made. Typically, the mechubar and ninim because they're connected
right.
to the ground. Ella, it must be a case of bishukatsan. You cut the trees. Yet bikatani psula, we still see that it's puzzle. Why is it puzzle? You cut them. You detach them from the ground. According to Rav, this should be kasher once you detach them. Shmamina, we learn from here, de lo amrinan kitsisan zuhi asyasan. From here we learn that cutting alone is not enough. Now if you move them around, linanea, that's already a different story. But simply speaking, cutting them from the ground, because again, we can't say it's talking about not cut, because that's posture. It's mechuber. It must be, even when it's cut, it's posel. V'tiyuf to the Rav. This is a kasha to Rav, because Rav said, no, you don't need to move it around. So Rav responds, no. That's not a question to me. Hach b'maya skinan, dishal finu, Shlufe the little minkara sia didu. So no, the case of the tree is not so problematic. I think, and I still hold that cutting it from the ground that will be enough. That's considered zuhi asiyasam. The reason why this price says it's puzzle, even though you cut it from the ground, is because look at Rashi. Rashi says this is four lines from the top, all the way up top, four lines down. Dishalfinu shlufe pishchan mina ilan ad sheniskan. You, I'm not sure the word pishkan really means. but you bent it from the tree until it kind of snapped. Umitoch she'en k'tisasan nikeres, since the cutting is not so recognizable. Kokach she'shochven rashi p'shichasan eitzel ha'ilan lo havi asiya malya. It's somehow bending it away. I wonder if they have a picture. They must have a picture, right? Yeah, so, yeah. Machlokas Rashi and Tosa, how exactly this works. I can't really tell the difference just looking at the picture. You kind of bent the tree over, and it looks from the outside as actually the tree is the branches are connected to the ground. When in fact they're not connected to the ground, it looks like they're connected right here.
He bends it, but he guns it or not?
He snaps it, but it gives the appearance that's really still part of the tree. I'll show you in a second.
I understand.
So since it gives you that appearance, that's part of the ground, even though it's not, that's why Rav says, Bryce says it's possible. The bottom right, the two trees in the bottom right. It's Rashi Tosos, the subtle difference.
Meaning it's cut, but it's still tight, like it still looks connected.
It looks connected. So even though fundamentally Rav permits this, since it gives you the impression that's connected to the ground, so he says...
But it seems that the whole inyan is that it's the asiya of cutting, not what it looks like.
No, you're right.
It seems that what makes it kosher is because you yourself made a certain peula about it, like something that actually created the thing. Not what it, who cares about what if it looks connected or not. I mean, unless it's a matter of marasain or something. But.
Right. So that's a good question. So Rashi doesn't tell us either. We're saying marasain, or he says even the appearance affects the status of the schach. There's no indication from Rashi here how he holds in that.
No, aren't we saying that according to Rav, because of the fact you didn't do the Maisa Shabbat, it snapped on its own, you didn't do the Maisa of Ksitza, so Mamela, you're lacking Tas of Lamanasa, even according to Rav. Here, you bent it until the point it snapped.
You're right, that's what Rashi says, you're right.
It's just the lo min kara asya di du she'en asya tam, klomar, tlishatam min amekugar nikeret כל כך לפי שראשי הענפים במקום תלשתם עדיין שוכבים אצל האילן וכיוון שאין הקציצה ניכרת כל כך אינה נחשבת עשייה ידיים פסולים הם משום תעשה ולמנשל אבל אם קצץ את הענפים בסכין והקציצה ניכרת הרי קציצתה זו היא עשייתה. It seems that if you just bend it, it's not called an asiya.
Right, that's what Adam just said. So it's not, even though it's actually detached from the ground.
Yeah,
it's not a maisa. The maisa has to be recognizable, which is interesting. Even though it is a maisa, well, even though it's detached, why is it not a maisa?
Why? I tell you why. Because it's actually you're using the same way as it would have just snapped by itself. So it's not really doing a maisa.
Uh-huh. Right. It's sort of like a passive maisa.
Right. You're bending it. And then by bending it, it breaks, but you're not really cutting it.
You know, I'm not sure if these Gemaras are comparable or running late. But the Gemara is discussing getting about the cost of a nasa, right? And that you can't be missing, you can't write on a mechubar and then cut it because it's missing a maisa. That would be a chisaron in the maisa of ksiva to the nesina. It has to be an ina mechusar maisa.
Right.
I would think isn't that schwer a little bit here on Shmuel, because if Shmuel is saying Shmuel's not viewing the cutting as being a maisa, what's Shmuel's position? The cutting of this thing is not considered a maisa, or it's not sufficient of a maisa to be mevatel tasav lomanasa.
Probably the latter.
So it is he is saying it's a maisa, but what it's not a maisa beguf haschach. Is that it? It's enough of a maisa to be viewed as a hefsek, for the cost of an asan.
You might probably have to say something like that, right? It's hefsek, but it's not enough to qualify to make it into a schach. You have to be magir a little better, but that's a good point.
I guess it has to be a maisa, the guf haschach, like guf hasukkah.
I'll have to think about that. Now, just Tosos, a very interesting Tosos here. We're running out of time. I'll just mention to you. He argues in Rashi, I just looked over now. He says that, in Rashi's case, if it's snapped, it would be considered a good schach. It's a case where it snapped but still connected to the ground. So even though, in regards to other halachas, that we view something that's connected but broken, it's considered tallish, it's considered disconnected. In terms of sukkah, it has to be entirely disconnected from the ground, and that's why it's not a siya. But if it completely snapped off, even though you didn't really intend on doing it, that would qualify as an asiya.
According to Tosos.
So it's an interesting machlokas, Rashi Tosos, what qualifies for an asiya when building the sukkah. Okay. Now the Gemara says around halfway down, so that's how Rav wiggles out of this problem. He again says, "B'hach b'may askinan d'shalfinu shlufei d'lo minkar asiya d'tu." He doesn't. The ma'isa was not so noticeable. Machlokas Rashi Tosos. Mikol Malkum. The Gemara says, so that gets out of the question about the sukkah. What about talon v'acharkach pasuk? If you tie them and then you cut afterwards, the Brisa says it's pasul. How could he get out of that? Kash the Rav kasha. The Rav has no way of really getting out of that problem. It seems to be it's a kasha. So Gemara says, Lema Tanai, we have 10 minutes, okay. Lema Kitanai. Maybe this machlokas about Asiyasan Zuhia, what is that what we're saying right now we're connecting to? Let's see. Yeah, Ktisasan Zuhia Asiyasan, maybe say that's a machlokas Tanai. How do we see that's a machlokas Tanai? Whether cutting it is going to make something considered an Asiya. Avar v'liktan pasul divrei Rabbi Shimon. What's this referring to? So Rashi tells us, talking about a case, hadasim, not our hadasim, but those hadasim back then had grapes that grew on the hadasim from time to time. Now, if there were more grapes than leaves, it's a pasul hadas. But if you remove the grapes, so then it would be a kosher hadas. So you're not allowed to remove them on Yontif because it's tikkun mana. You're fixing the fixing the hadas, making it something usable. But let's say a person didn't listen, and they did it anyways. They violated the divrei chachamim. It's only an issur derabanan to remove the grapes. It's not an issue of kotzer because it's not attached to the ground, the hadasim. The chachamim says you cannot remove the grapes because tikkun mana. Let's say a person did. So the Braisa says, avar, you went against the chachamim, v'liktan, you collected them, you removed them, pasul divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon held its pasul, bar yitzhiyot tzadok. The Chachamim machshir, and they thought it would be kosher. If even though you violated the Chachamim and removed them on Yom Tov, it's still going to be kosher. What's the machlokas? Savrua the chuliyam maluluv tzarch eged. Everybody's of the opinion, both opinions think, that the luluv requires an eged. They have to be connected together. All three of the four, plus the esrog have to be connected, eged, to join them together. V'yalfinan luluv misukkah. And we learn dinam of luluv, we learn that from a sukkah. Dichsiv gavei sukkah. Tasev lo menasei, and once you have a gzer shava, we'll see why. Does Rashi tell us why this gzer shava? Rashi doesn't. It's not gzer shava; rather, it's a binyan av. We have a binyan av, which means we have a concept that exists elsewhere. We can apply it to other cases. So, what's the binyan av? So, just like we have gavi suk dichsiv gavi sukka tasev lo menasei, it has to. You have to make it, and it can't be pre-made. So that's what we have by a sukka. My lab b'hok mifugi. Are they not arguing about the following? The one who permits such a hadasim, savar amrinan gavi sukkah, ktisasan zuhi asiyasan. So just like by a sukkah, we say cutting, snapping the bottom of the trees makes that considered asiyah in a good sukkah. But gavi lulav nami, through this binyan av, we could say also lulav, nami amrinan likitasan zuhi asiyasan. When you remove, pick the grapes off the hadasim, that also makes it into an asiyah you made in hadasim, and that's why it's going to be kosher. But man, the pasul, the one who savor lo amrinan gavi sukkah k'tisasan zuhi asiyasan, we don't say that. Cutting it's not enough. You have to move it, but cutting alone is not enough. Lo amrinan l'kitasan zuhi asiyasan. So too by lulav, we don't say removing the grapes is going to make it into a hadasim. Rather, it's going to be considered a problem of tasav lo mina asui. So that's the first approach, how we suggest, and maybe it's really machlokas tanaim, whether we say k'tisasan zuhi asiyasan. Okay, so now the Gemara says no. Not sure. Lo, duchliyama, lo arminan, gavi sukkah, ktsiasan zuyasan. Everybody agrees that cutting alone is not enough. We passing like Shmuel, that cutting doesn't work. You need to cut it and then move it around. So what's this machlokas? It's nothing to do with what we've said up until now, but a new point. What's the machlokas about whether picking off the grapes is going to create a hadasim, whether that's permitted or not? V'halka b'melef lulav misukkah kam mifugi. They're arguing whether or not you can learn lulav from sukkah. Man the machshir, one who permits such hadasim, savra lo yalfinon lulav misukkah. You don't learn it. Only sukkah has a problem of tasa of lumina asa. You can't have pre-made sukkah. When it comes to hadasim, you can have pre-made, even though the hadasim already had grapes on it before, and only now in Yontif I'm removing the grapes, that's going to be permitted. However, man the pasa, the one who disqualifies such hadasim, savra yalfinon lulav misukkah. We do learn it from a sukkah. Just like a sukkah, if it's made pasul, it's not good at all. So to a hadasim, which is made, in other words, when Yom Tov starts, it's ready pasul, you cannot undo it. So machlok is whether or not you can learn lula from sukkah. Ibaisema, another suggestion, is isfirlan du lulav tzarch eged. If you hold that lulav tzarch eged, then you have to combine the three minim of the four. Choyama loyal lo pligi. Nobody argues. The alfinan lulav misukkah. We learn lulav from a sukkah. Just like sukkah is a problem tasav limna asai, so to lulav it. So that's not a question according to that approach. But v'hacha, what we're arguing about here is, they're arguing whether or not you need an eged or not. Mar sever tzarch eged, mar sever ein tzarch eged. One opinion says you require an eged of the three minim, and once you require an eged, so the dinim are all the same. Umar savar that ein tzarch eged. The other opinion thinks that you do not require an eged. Maybe I missed a point there. Ah, that's the point. Oh, see, Rashi explains that if you hold that you require an eged, so there's an asiya. You need to do an asiya for the lulav, namely making the egg, so the eged rather. So just like there is an asiya for sukkah, there's an asiya for a lulav. But if you don't assume you have to have an eged, then that's a machlokas. The other approach is, do you require an eged or do you not require an eged? If you require an eged, in other words, you require an asiya, so then similar to sukkah, they're both going to be puzzle. If you do not require an eged, then you don't need an asiya, so by hadassim it would be permitted because you don't need an asiya, while by sukkah, we said before, it would be puzzle. Now we're up to...
The case with the hadassim is that he takes hadassim, he cuts them, and they are great. They have like some kind of fruit.
Fruit, exactly.
And while they have a fruit, according to everybody's puzzle?
If they're more fruit than leaves, it's puzzle according to everybody.
According to everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. So on Yontif itself, he removes that. So what do you mean, how could you remove that? Isn't that a problem of tassel ibn asai? When Yontif started, it was already made. So by picking off the grapes, you can't undo that. It's too late already. If you fixed it before Yontif, this requires a little bit more explanation. If you fixed it before Yontif, it never had a shame hadassim. But once it has a shame hadassim, pasal hadassim, you can't undo that unless you... Sukkah, you can undo the pasal schach by moving the schach up and down. There's no way of undoing hadassim anymore.
Right.
Okay. So let's go via to another approach, the Gemara says. V'bais ema, another suggestion is... What is that we're up to? Oh. So, again, we're saying maybe the machlokas here about picking off the grapes is dependent on whether or not you require an eged or not. Ubepluk said the honey tonight. They're arguing about the following machlokas tonight we find elsewhere. The Tanya, the Brisa says, lulav bein eged bein she'ena agud kasher. The Chacham hold whether the lulav has an eged or whether it does not have an eged is kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer agud kasher she'ena agud pasul. No, Rabbi Yehuda says you require one. So we see Chacham don't require one, and the Rabbi Yehuda does require one. So this machlokas is exactly what they're arguing about, perhaps, regarding removing the grapes from the hadassim. And my time at Rabbi Yehuda, why did Rabbi Yehuda require an eged and it's possible without it? Because yalaf lakicha lakicha me'agudas ezov, you have a gzer shava lakicha lakicha agudas ezov in regards to paraduma. Ksiv hasam, it's written by the paraduma, lakachtem agudas ezov, you're supposed to take the agudas, the combination of the ezov and the other things that are there. Uksiv hachan, it's written here by sukkis, lakachtem lachem yom arishon, you take the dalaminim, so lakicha lakicha mala halan baguda, just like when it comes to paraduma, you require an aguda, an eged, afka nami baguda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. They didn't have such a mesorah. They didn't have such a gzer shava. So therefore, there's no need. There's no source of an eged. How are we doing with time? We still have 5 minutes. We'll just do a few more lines for the two dots. Keman azla hadatan. Oh, it's not paraduma. Oh, it's regarding Pesach then.
Right.
Ah, okay, my bad. Okay, regarding Pesach, so that's how we learn it from there, that you require this eged when you did the dam and the mezuzah. Thank you. Okay, now the Brisa says, this is four wide lines down, Kaman azla hadatanya. Who is the author of the following Brisa? Gemara says, the Brisa says, lulav mitzvah la'ogdo. The mitzvah, the best to have an eged for the lulav. Vim lo agdo kasher. But if you don't do it, it's kasher. So who is this? E Rabbi Yehuda, kilo agdo amai kasher. If it was Rabbi Yehuda, when you did not do it, why is it kasher? We said before, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't have an eged, it's actually a pasul. So Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of that brisa. E Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan, amai mitzvah, why is there a mitzvah? Rabbanan says, whether it has an eged, whether it does not have an eged, it's kasher. He never indicated at all any mitzvah to have an eged. So the Gemara says, li olam Rabbanan, really the Rabbanan are the ones who author that brisa. Umishum shenemar ze keli van veyu, hisna lefanam b'mitzvah. So you're right, in terms of Hilchos Tzukah, in terms of Hilchos Lulav, an eged, you don't require an eged. The only reason why you would require an agate is simply a general mitzvah of a hiddur mitzvah based on Zech Keli Van Vayu. But in terms of that, halachas of Hilchas Agate, you don't require an agate. It's only, again, hiddur mitzvah. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. The very important brisa, the ritva here, in terms of egged and hiddur mitzvah, derisa, derabanan. But we're running out of time.
If your lulav is not abud before Yom Tov, it's sitting out and